When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, everybody? I'm Najee Adams.
And I'm Hunter Jacobs.
And you're listening to the Hoop Bowl Nets Podcast. We are back with a brand new episode. It's crazy how close we are to the playoffs. What, the Nets have 11 games left until playoff time. The playoff starts on May 19th. It is currently like April 26th. So we're well on our way to the playoffs, less than a month away. We're back with another episode. I think the last one I recorded was a solo, but we got Hunter back on the pod. So the dynamic duo has returned. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Hoop Bowl Nets podcast on Apple Podcasts, download it on Spotify, leave a 5-star rating and review because all reviews will get read on the pod. You can follow me on Twitter at @NajeeAdams_. Hunter on Twitter is at Hunter_JKR, and the pod is at Hoop Bowl Nets. If you want to listen to my own podcast, you can go just type in Run It Up Podcast in Apple Podcasts, or just go to my Twitter and you'll basically find it wherever you see me. So yeah, check that out as well. And before we get into things, you already know the deal. I got to give a huge, huge, huge shout out to our guys over at MyBookie. Ever since Hunter and I started this podcast, people have been asking us for betting tips. We always get asked, who do you got, Lakers or Celtics, Nets or Clippers, crazy stuff like that. And we will tell you what we tell them. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. That's why we tell people to bet with MyBookie. Their rep is rock solid, and they've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. They're the only place I trust to handle my NBA-related bets, and the one sports book guaranteed to give me the best lines for every single sport you can think of. You know us, and you know that we don't give out our stamp of approval easily. To earn it, you've got to be the best at what you do, and MyBookie is easily the best sports book out there, period. It's simple. Sign up, enter promo code HOOPBALL, that's HOOPBALL, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Head over to MyBookie if you want to add a little bit of excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best. Bet with my bookie. And we can kind of just dive on into things. LaMarcus Aldridge, a tragic, it was like super out of nowhere. Like, I don't exactly remember what I was doing when it happened, but I just remember seeing it and being like, what? Like, this has got to be some sort of troll. He ended up, it was fresh off their loss to the Lakers against Andre Drummond. And LaMarcus Aldridge was kind of after the game, he said that he was kind of gassed, and we just didn't really know that it was this was the reason why he was gassed. But it came out he was diagnosed with Wolf Parkinson White syndrome. It's an abnormality that can cause a rapid heartbeat. As a rookie in 2007, he said he feels better now after getting it checked on, but regardless, like, he rather play it safe, which I completely understand. And he called an end to his career after 15 years. a great career at that. It just really kind of came out of nowhere. So, Hunter, what was your kind of thoughts, or what was your reaction, I guess, to seeing LaMarcus?
I was always a fan of LaMarcus, so it would have been nice to see him get a ring before he departed. But, of course, similar to the situation like Chris Bosh, he just couldn't do it anymore for the safety of his own life. Like, at that point, it is bigger than the game. Like, yeah, he wanted to stay, I'm sure, and win with this team because this team has the best shot that anyone's had in a long time to get in that ring. But he just couldn't do it. But Hall of Fame career nonetheless, in my opinion.
Do you think that the Nets would give him a ring if they won the chip? I feel like they would, right?
I mean, I think they should.
He only played five games.
I think that they should.
Yeah, he only played in five games, but I feel like the Nets would, like, just as a gesture, as a sign of, like just to kind of bump up his nod for that Hall of Fame. He has a stellar career regardless. He was on the all-rookie team in 2006, 2007, seven-time All-Star, five-time All-NBA player. LaMarcus Aldridge is one of the best power forwards, I would say, of our generation. And his game kind of went unnoticed just because, like, he went to the Spurs. His gameplay isn't all too flashy. Some people would consider him a boring player, but you can't, like, argue with the stats. He got it done everywhere that he was at. And, LaMarcus Aldridge will definitely go down as a legend, as a great. As for what it does to the Nets, I definitely think it hurts them. Do you agree, Hunter? I feel like it hurts their spacing, but what about you?
Once they got Aldridge, it kind of felt like, oh, the Nets are finally done. Like, this is their roster, their set. And then once they lost him, it was back to the same thing. Like, oh, DeAndre Jordan's going to have to play a lot. And then that's the tough thing. The thing that can hurt them down the stretch when they have to decide between Jordan and Claxton instead of having the ability to have Aldridge out there.
Yeah, that's I feel like they'll be good in the regular season without LaMarcus Aldridge, but I think where it will really hurt them is come playoff time. Just for example, for a team like against a team like the Lakers or even a team like the Clippers where they have a stretch big, the Clippers have Ibaka, or not even a stretch big, like Zubat even. Like for the Lakers, for example, when they have Drummond out there, obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge isn't able to bang with Drummond in the post. So that's where the Lakers have that advantage. But the advantage that the Nets have is, okay, cool. LaMarcus might not be able to guard Andre Drummond in the post, but good luck having having Andre Drummond out on the perimeter. You take him out the paint and obviously create way easier shots at the basket for all your players because you have to guard LaMarcus Aldridge at the three. Now, they don't really have that stretch big. I mean, I guess Blake Griffin, and he shot relatively well from 3 points from beyond the arc since he became a Brooklyn Net, but still, just I don't think he gets the same respect that someone like LaMarcus Aldridge would, and so that's where I think it hurts them. But obviously, LaMarcus had to do what was best for his health, and I don't think anyone's going to knock him for that. So we wish LaMarcus Aldridge the best. We are happy he is going to be healthy, and hopefully the Nets can still win, and he'll get that nice ring. I would give him a ring if I was the owner, so hopefully they give him a ring as well. Kind of moving on. James Harden had a setback. He suffered a setback in his hamstring, and he is now out indefinitely.
And by indefinitely, it's more than likely we won't see him until game one of the first series of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's kind of where that was. He's out for the rest of the regular season. Apparently, Steve Nash said it set him back to square one. They made it sound like they don't really know when he's going to come back, but then in that same strain, they also said that they expect to have their big three back for the beginning of the playoffs. So I think that it'll be in the best interest of everyone to, you know, just let Harden rest. The Nets are in no danger whatsoever of missing the playoffs. They're in no danger of even falling below a top three seed, even below a top two seed. So with or without Harden, they're good for now. When Harden will obviously be needed is come playoff time and where the competition gets much, much harder. And I think the Nets are 27-7 when Harden plays, and so he's been a key cog in their success this season, and was well on his way to his second MVP before he got injured. But now I feel like Nikola Jokic is kind of the front runner for that. And
on Steph Curry there.
I feel like it's between Jokic, Steph, and Joel Embiid, but I mean, I just don't think the Warriors are good enough for Steph to get an MVP, especially when.
Are the Nuggets even good enough? I mean, they're going to give it to Jokic, but that argument this season for me doesn't even make sense, because the Nuggets are a fourth seed.
Yeah, the Nuggets are the fourth seed, but they've only won 8 more games than the Warriors. So,
dang.
So I mean, I guess
if it's going to be team dominance-wise, then you might as well give it to Embiid if it's out of those three.
Yeah, I just think that usually the player that leads in PER gets it, and I'm pretty sure Nikola Jokic leads the league in PER.
That is Jokic.
So that's that, and with Jamal Murray out, the narrative is there for Jokic to really carry the team. So I feel like he'll get it. But yeah, Harden was well on his way to a second MVP before he went down. I got a question though, Hunter. Do you think it'll hurt the Nets come playoff time having their big three, because of the fact that their big three's only been intact for 6 games?
I will say yes and no. Yes, in that they won't be playing their best basketball right away, but no, because their first 2 series are going to be jokes. So they have 8 wins to figure that out before they have a tough series.
Yeah, and obviously that's based on how the playoffs were to start today. But even looking at the standings, like, I don't foresee much change happening, even in that bottom realm of.
There's one team that can go to 4-5 that can probably make the Nets work, and that's the Heat.
Yeah, so I think. So the Nets are 5-1 having their big three intact. The only game that they lost was that very first game. Everyone remembers it, against the Cleveland Cavaliers, when Colin Sexton went to it and he was on a different universe and just started playing the best basketball of his entire career in that one night, and took that game off the Nets. Since then, they haven't lost a game with all three of their big three intact. It's been an injury-riddled season for the Nets, especially for the big three. KD's only played in 25 of the Nets' 61 games this season, meaning he missed 36 games. He's missed more games than he's played in, and he's had a minute restriction in a lot of those games. Kyrie has been the Iron Man per se. He's played the most games of the big three. He's played in 45, only missed 16 of their 61 games. And then the Nets have played 48 games since they acquired James Harden. Harden's played in 34 of them. Like I said, they're 27-7. And realistically, they've, like, all of a combination of them have been on the court together. Like, KD and Kyrie have played. Kyrie and Harden have played.
Most common one was Kyrie and Harden.
Yeah.
It would be Kyrie and Harden. And that's why I think the adjustment won't be so bad, because I think KD can fit on any team at any time. I think Kyrie and Harden being able to play together is the most important thing.
No, I'm with you.
Together enough that I don't think it'll hurt them at all.
Yeah, like I said, a combination of them have played, and so it's kind of just finding out what works from each combination and trying to, you know, get mesh that all well together, and finding out what doesn't work and hoping that, you know, the talent that you have can get you through that. We're going to do a playoff preview after we finish talking about this. A couple more things. I also wanted to ask you, should they right now, just for context, the Nets are the one seed sitting at 41-20. They're 1 game ahead of the 76ers. And there's what, 11 games left for the Nets. And how many games left for the 76ers? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Also 11 left for the Sixers.
So boom, they both have 11 games left. The Nets are 1 game ahead of them. Do you think that the Nets should be gunning for that first seed, or do you not think it matters very much?
I think it matters a tremendous amount, because if they retain that one seed, they wind up with the Hornets, the Heat, the Pacers or the Wizards in the first round. Most likely not the Heat. Most likely one of the other three, which is a sweep. Now, if they fall to two, they're almost guaranteed the Heat in that spot. But the worst part about that is that their second round winds up becoming the Bucks instead of the Knicks or the Hawks.
Yeah, so I feel like the toughness of the path that they'd have to go through at two is way, like, it gets way tougher at two.
Right, two, the path is Heat, Bucks, Sixers before they get to the finals, and that's a path.
Whereas if they stay at the one seed, they could play Hornets.
like Hornets or Pacers, Knicks, Hawks, and then Sixers.
Yeah. So I also think they should be gunning for that one seed. I don't think they should be running their players to the ground, tossing their minutes restrictions to the side by any means, but they should be doing whatever they can realistically to keep that one seed, because the path is severely easier if they keep that one seed. And then, yeah, we kind of just want to go over their win against the Suns. It was a pretty close game for the most part. When you look at the standings right now for the the Suns are 43-18. They're one game behind the Jazz for the one seed. So the Suns very well could be the one seed heading into the playoffs. They've been incredible this season. Devin Booker and Chris Paul have been a dynamic duo. And they're obviously a way tougher team than they have been in previous years. This game, the Nets were missing Harden, but they did have Kyrie and KD off the bench. KD dropped 33 in 28 minutes, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and Kyrie had 34, 12 assists, 6 rebounds in 35 minutes. And then, no one else really had more than 10 points. Jeff Green and Joe Harris both had 10.
Blake Griffin had 16, 5, and 4 on 6-9. Oh, yes.
I missed my boy Blake Griffin. I think this was the first back-to-back that he played in since coming to the Nets. So this was also a big game for him. He's going to be asked to do more with LaMarcus Aldridge being out, being retired. And this was a good step in the right direction for him.
James suited up in this game.
Yes, Mike James.
Find the veteran point guard who was supposed to still be playing for Moscow, but he got into an altercation with the coach there and said that it was not a clash on the basketball court or as a player. It was more of as an individual. As two men, they had clashes, and he just didn't like how things were handled. So
yeah, he
no longer played for them, and he said it's better for him at this stage in his life to be a role player rather than someone with a lot of responsibility on the court.
Apparently he had only met like the coaching staff and came to the team facility hours before the game or something like that. He just came in and got absolute buckets. He only had 7 points, but like it was an efficient 7 and a well-deserved 7 from Mike James. When we look at, we don't want to get too much into this. It was a relatively easy win for the Nets. Having KD and Kyrie on the court most nights is gonna get you the win. Like it's as simple as that. The Nets were actually down 56-43 with 3 minutes remaining in the second quarter, and they just kind of took off from there. They went on a 16-5 run, and they trailed by 2 at the half. And then coming out of that, like they just took off. KD went on a 9-point run himself. And, it was wraps. It was wraps after that. And the Nets kind of just overpowered them, which will happen on most nights. Like I said, when you have two top 10 players in the league, top 15 easily. And, that's kind of what their hope is going to happen in the playoffs. And speaking of the playoffs, we might as well get to our playoff predictions, I guess. We're going to go through the whole thing. We're probably going to end up doing another one of these when the standings are final. But this is based on what the standings are right now. Like, if the playoffs were to start today, this is how we see things shaping up. We have, me and Hunter have a couple of different predictions, but for the most part, we're kind of on the same stage. So this is how we're going to start with the East. The Nets are the one seed at 41-20. 76ers are the 2 seed, 39-21. Bucks are the 3 seed at 37-23. Knicks are the 4 seed. So we got two New York teams in the top 4 seeds. Knicks are the 4 seed at 34-27. Hawks are the 5 seed at 34-27. Celtics are the 6 seed at 32-29. Heat are the 7 seed at 32-29. Hornets are the 8 seed at 30-30. Pacers are the 9 seed at 29-31, and Wizards are the 10 seed at 27-33. Before we get into that, Hunter, just explain how the whole play-in tournament thing works.
Well, first, before that, this list with the standings was made yesterday, so the teams haven't shifted at all, but the Knicks and Hawks both lost, so they have 28 losses. The Heat lost, and the Wizards lost, so... A lot of ones in the L column for the East. But other than that, everything's the same. So the play-in tournament, it's 7 through 10. 7 plays 8, and the winner is the 7th seed. 9 plays 10. The loser is eliminated. The winner moves on to play the loser of the 7-8 game. So the loser of 7-8 plays the winner of 9-10 for the final playoff spot. And... that's whoever gets the 8th seed. So if you're a 7th or 8th seed, it's double elimination for you. If you're a 9-10, you got to win 2 straight.
Got you. Perfect. So might as well get into things. We're going to start with the play-in tournament. So in this scenario, we have the Heat as the 7th seed and the Hornets as the 8th seed. I don't think this is a hot take. We both think the Heat are going to win, retain that 7th seed. Then we have the 9 versus the 10th seed, which is the Pacers versus the Wizards. Hunter has the Pacers winning. I have the Wizards winning just because I feel like Russ and Bradley Beal are going to turn up it when the time comes. Like, I just think that they have more talent on that team than the Pacers do. And, yeah, I'm not going to count out Russ and Bradley Beal.
I don't think you're remembering who Caris LeVert is.
I can never forget my boy Caris.
I don't think you're remembering.
I could never and would never forget my
Brogdon,
boy Caris.
Caris, Jeremy Lamb, Sabonis, Miles Turner. That's a team. They got a squad. The Wizards got a duo.
Bro, we just talked about this off the mic, bro. But whenever I'm always going to take the team that has the better player. Like the Wizards have two top 25 players. Bradley Beal is definitely top 15. Russ is debatable. But
15's a lot for Beal. All
right, cool. Top 20. Top 20? We cool on top 20?
Okay. Beal's 20. Westbrook's probably 30.
Remember, I just talked about it in the last podcast. My man cooked me in the reviews for saying that Bradley Beal is better than Kyrie. So let me not. All right, top 25. They have two top 25 players. And so do the Pacers have a top 25 player? I don't think so. So I'm going to go ahead.
Sabonis is probably top 25.
If he is, he's on the edge.
He's ahead of the rankings in Westbrook, probably.
Oh, that's cap. That's cap. That's cap. No. Westbrook is better than Sabonis. No, you come on. Don't come on me.
Come on now. That you're just looking at the numbers. You're not looking at.
It's Russell Westbrook. What are you talking about?
You're looking at the stats, not the game.
Bro, it's Russell.
And I love Westbrook, but Sabonis is better, man. Come on.
Bro, who had the better MVP season? Steph Curry or Russell Westbrook?
Oh, we're not doing this. Then the answer is Steph. It's not close.
The answer.
Sabonis, who is having 12-6 this season,
mm-hmm.
on 52% shooting.
20-12-6. That's cute. That's nice.
With a 20 PER.
That's cool. That's very hot. Spicy even. What is Westbrook?
Westbrook has 22-11-11.
Come on now.
On 43% shooting with an 18 PER.
Okay, I'm taking Westbrook. What are you talking about?
1.8 win shares to Sabonis is 6.
I'm taking Westbrook. He's a better player. Come on now. He had a better MVP season than Steph Curry. Hot take.
Let's ignore that. Yep. Ignore.
Okay, so he takes the Pacers. I'm taking the Wizards. That moves us on to the 9 versus the for Hunter, it's the 9 versus the 8 seed. For me, it's the 10 versus the 8 seed. So it's Pacers versus Hornets for Hunter. He has the Pacers grabbing the win. It's Wizards versus Hornets for me. I have the Wizards grabbing the win.
It's all useless because then let's move on to the first round. Nets versus Wizards or Nets Pacers. Nets win 4-0 no matter who it is.
So. And so that's, again, why we were saying that it's very important that they keep the one seed, because if they drop to 2, then it's Nets versus Heat in the very first round.
And that's going to be their first game playing as a trio again. So I don't think they want that.
Didn't Bam just hit a game winner on them a couple nights ago?
And they'll also probably have Oladipo back by then.
Exactly. So we need to keep that one seed because we want to play the Pacers or the Wizards or the Hornets. So, well, actually the Pacers or the Wizards, yeah. Or the Hornets, yeah. So then regardless, we have the Nets winning in 4. Versus whatever team they play, they're going to sweep them. Maybe a gentleman's sweep of 5 if we give them a game. Regardless, the Nets are demolishing it, whatever team they play in the first round. That 2 versus 7, we have 76ers versus Heat. Now I feel like this has the potential to be the best matchup of the first round easily of any of both conferences.
And Heat are winning in 7 because Jimmy Butler don't lose.
I have the 76ers winning. Now, I feel like that's a hot take when it really probably shouldn't be. But I have the 76ers winning in 7. I think it's going to be an incredible series, back and forth series. 76ers will have home court, and they're really good on their own home court. Obviously, home court isn't as important as it was in previous years. But I'm going to say the 76ers take this matchup against the Heat in 7 games. Hunter's going to say the Heat take it over the 76ers in 7 games. Moving on to the next matchup, Bucks versus Celtics. We both have the Bucks winning in 6. I don't think this matchup is all too particularly close. There is a realm that I could see the Celtics coming out super hot and stunning the Bucks, but I think it's a very, very low percentage that happens.
If the Celtics play like they played last year, then they win the series. If they keep playing like this garbage version of themselves this year, they probably lose in 5 games.
And so, yeah, we'll see which Celtics show up. The last matchup is the 4 versus the 5 seed, the Knicks versus the Hawks, which also could be a low-key sleeper hell of a series, but we're both
going to probably go 7 because they're evenly matched. Both teams are not great teams, good enough, I guess, to make the playoffs, and I have the Knicks winning in 7.
I also have the Knicks winning in 7, so that because sets up.
It should be clear to everyone that the Heat and the Celtics are better than the Knicks and the Hawks. But how the season's going, the standings are what they are, and we could see it turn out that the Knicks make the second round this year.
Yeah, it's a weird year. You know, it's a COVID-impacted year, and not to take anything away from the Knicks. They've been balling lately.
Yeah, they have been playing well, and Randle is a top 5 MB, or should be, a top 5 MVP candidate.
Yeah, you know. So, well, we'll see what happens. That sets up a Nets versus Knicks second round, a battle of the Battle of New York. Hunter and I both live in New York, so the tickets are probably going to be outrageously expensive, but we're probably going to try and go. I would bet my money that we don't end up going, but, you know, we're going to try. Nets versus the Knicks. I don't know the last time that happened, if that has ever happened. I'm not sure, but we're going to take Nets in 5. The Knicks get that nice gentleman. They will probably, I could see the Knicks winning the first game, and Knicks Twitter versus Nets Twitter is going to be completely toxic. And I can see the Knicks just going crazy over that first game, and the Nets just sweeping them after that.
Yep. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. And then we got the Bucks versus the Heat for Hunter. And I have Bucks versus Sixers. Hunter has the Heat being that Cinderella team. Hunter has the Heat beating the Bucks.
Heat just match up great with the Bucks. So if they get past the Sixers, I think that's almost a lock for them to get to the conference finals.
Yeah, Jimmy's just the Giannis Grim Reaper. He just refuses to let that man make the NBA Finals. And I have 76ers Bucks. I'm going to take 76ers in six. And then that kind of sets up Nets versus Heat for Hunter. Nets versus 76ers for me. We both have them winning.
Five.
Yeah, he has them in five. I have Nets in six over the 76ers. And yeah, the Brooklyn Nets come out of the East, win the Eastern Conference, make the NBA Finals for the first time since, like, what, 2000, 2001?
And fairly easily at that.
And then on to the West, the current standings as they are right now going into our scenario is Jazz as the one seed, 44. I'm not even going to say their records, but because so Jazz at the one seed, Suns at the two seed, Clippers at the three seed, Nuggets at the four seed, Lakers at the five seed, Mavs as the six seed, Trailblazers as the seven seed, eighth seeded Grizzlies, ninth seeded Spurs, and 10th seeded Warriors. And play-in tournament begins. We've got Blazers versus Grizzlies. We've both got the Trailblazers winning and getting that seventh seed. And then we have Spurs versus Warriors as a 9-10. We have the Warriors winning that. Steph Curry's not going out. Sorry. And then we have Ja Morant versus Steph Curry. We also have the Warriors winning that.
Look, it's, there's no way if Steph Curry's in a play-in tournament that he's not winning.
I 100% agree.
It's just that simple. He will win it.
Yeah, he's coming out on top. Warriors are definitely going to come out on top if they make the play in, and then that sets us up for a 1 seed versus 10 seed, Jazz versus Warriors.
And it could go 7 games.
Swear to God it could. Depending,
the Warriors are just not good, but Steph is Steph.
Depending on if we get all-time great Steph Curry or not. If we get prime Steph Curry,
Mind you, this last month has been the best Steph Curry we've seen since his MVP year, and it might even be better than that.
And that's what I'm saying. If he plays like that, I swear to you, bro, I can see the Warriors taking the series.
They can. They definitely can. But they need Draymond Green to actually play pretty decent, and they need Oubre and Wiggins to be mildly efficient around him.
And so we have the Jazz winning in six, but if the Warriors do win, I would not be surprised. And then we
know LeBron don't want to see that man again.
What are you talking? I'm not doing this with you, bro. Lakers would do them, bro. The Lakers are gonna do them in easy.
That man again.
Okay, yeah. Suns versus Trailblazers. This is probably the best series in the West because Dame is different. That man is a demon. He is not going out. Sorry. So I think it goes seven.
I think the Suns will win the series, and I think Chris Paul is going to be playing with a purpose.
Yeah, I also have the Suns winning. Like I said, they could come into this as the one seed, but I definitely have the Suns winning. They've shown too much throughout the year to have me not pick them. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And Dame's going to get that first round exit. But this is another series that I could very well see Dame just completely taking over and being unstoppable and carrying the team to a victory. Clippers versus Mavs. This is kind of going to be they're going to walk all over them just like they did last year. Like, Luka has that one moment of the step back against Reggie Jackson, but for the most part, the Clippers dominated.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I hope Luka gets more help because as of right now, I see him as a revolving door of a first-round exit.
Yeah, I mean, the Clippers and Mavs faced up last year. And the Mavs could have won, I swear to you, bro. But Kristaps didn't play. And so Luka didn't really have any help. And the Clippers beat them fairly easily. But you know,
I personally am under the belief that the Clippers are better this year. Some people think they're not. I think they definitely are better. Like, it's not even close. I think the addition of Ibaka, Batum, Kennard will definitely help them. And then Rondo. We know what Rondo is when it comes to the playoffs.
Playoff Rondo is a real thing, which is crazy, but it is a real thing. I'm sorry. For the people that don't believe that, please look at his stats in the playoffs last year. It is a real thing. So, yeah, we have the Clippers winning in six. And then we have Nuggets versus Lakers. I think the Lakers, fully healthy, take care of the Nuggets fairly easily in five games, especially without Jamal Murray. And yeah, get them right up out of here. So that sets up our second round predictions. Jazz versus Lakers, one seed versus five seed. We both have Lakers in six. And then, like we said, it could be Warriors versus Lakers, which would be an incredible series as well. But I would also take the Lakers in that. And then Suns versus Clippers. Hunter has Clippers in seven. I have Clippers in six. I think they would probably do the Suns pretty dirty, pretty easily.
I think Chris Paul is going to put up a fight no matter what. But I do think the Clippers will wind up taking it.
It'll be good to see Devin Booker in the playoffs for once. I can guarantee you he's going to have at least one signature sick moment in this playoffs.
It's either it could either go that way or he plays absolutely horrible.
Nah, I think he plays really well.
Yeah, I think so too, but you never know. People's first playoffs can go one of two ways.
You're not wrong. You're right. And then we have the conference finals, the series that everyone wanted last year that never happened. Will hopefully happen this year as long as the Clippers do their job. Lakers versus Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. Hunter is going to be controversial and have the Clippers win in seven.
It'll be controversial. It should be obvious.
Okay. I'm going to have the Lakers win in six against the Clippers.
Six.
Which... Hunter has the Clippers Nets finals. I have the Lakers Nets finals. I think if the Nets face the Clippers, they're winning fairly easily in five or six games.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
I think if the, listen, my boy, playoff P is called playoff piss for a reason, and he will show that.
This year, when he averages 30 in the playoffs, what do you have to do?
I would bet you bread that he does average 30 in the playoffs.
So what do you do when he averages 30 this year?
What do you do when he averages 15?
He won't.
And when he averages 22 on 27% shooting from the field, what are we doing then?
He won't. See, that's my problem, because you know who did that and people respect him? Kyrie. Kyrie shot 29%.
Hey, don't let my man that scolded me over the Bradley Beal thing hear you say that. He'll come for you. He'll edit that review real quick, my boy.
If we're being real, Paul George is a very close in terms of ranking player to Kyrie Irving when it comes to regular season. Now, take the playoffs. Yes, Paul George is historically bad in the playoffs, but he blamed it on Doc Rivers and the role he was given.
And Doc Rivers said Ty Lue was sitting there right next to me making those decisions with me.
And, Paul George seems to be having a great season.
He always has a great season. That's not the question. The question is, will he have a great postseason?
Well, if he's given the role he wants, I believe he will. Let's give him a chance to show it.
Okay, cool. That's fine with me. The Nets still do the Clippers in five games. Easy. If the Nets play the Lakers, I'm going to say Lakers in seven, but I could also see the Nets winning. But I personally would say Lakers in seven. And yeah, I feel like it's going to be tough to have the Nets have that big three for a total of six games and then come in and play the best team in the league and the Lakers in the finals, who are coming fresh off of a chip in their second year with LeBron and AD, also got better.
No matter which LA team they face, I think it does go seven.
I think the Lakers are much better than the Clippers, so I don't think the Clippers series goes seven. The
Lakers are barely hanging on to an above player.
Okay, if you take away the best player in the world from any team, they're of course going to get worse.
Yes, so you don't know what you are.
We were a couple games away from the one seed. I'm not doing this with you. You're trying to bait.
You were a three to four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hunter is a... I can't even say it on the podcast. Hunter is the best baiter that you will ever meet when it comes to your sports takes. He likes to get you riled up. I'm not going to let him do it to me. So Hunter's the Nets winning the chip no matter what. I have the Nets winning the chip against everyone but the Lakers. So, honestly, it's a good chance the Nets win the chip. And that's how we have our playoff predictions going. Like I said, we're going to do another one when the standings are final and we have the actual teams that will be playing, and kind of get more in-depth about the matchups and everything. But we didn't want to get super in-depth and then end up not even being the matchup. So we got that. You guys can look forward to that coming soon. Like I said, the playoffs are less than a month away. Start on May 19th. Nets should be fully healthy. And we can't wait, honestly. So we're going to go ahead and get up out of here. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Hoopball Nets podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Hoopball Nets podcast on Apple Podcasts. Download the pod on Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoopball Nets. Leave a 5-star rating and review on the podcast on Apple Podcasts. I've said that phrase like 10 times straight. We actually have 70 ratings, which is like, that's a milestone. So clap it up for us. So, but we're trying to get to 100. So we would really appreciate it if you guys could do that. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Najee_Adams_. Hunter is at Hunter_JKR on Twitter. And yeah. Oh, let me give you your letter. T.
Tristan Thompson.
Thomas Bryant. And with that, we're going to get up out of here.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.